Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Skinwalkers and Other Beasties, Volume 2, Story 1. In 1961, I was a 15-year-old summer school student at St. John's Military School in Delafield, Wisconsin. I lived in one of about 20 cabins that were organized in a semicircle in a forested area. In the 20 cabins lived other boys who were my age. At the center of the semicircle, there was a night lamp on a high pole. Vision was excellent. Under the light pole was a water fountain. The pole and fountain area is where group meetings took place. One night, I don't remember the time, perhaps 1, 2, or 3 a.m., I woke to see a very large, ape-looking creature who was drinking out of the fountain. The creature had to bend awkwardly to reach the fountain because it was at his knee level. By observing the awkward bend, I was able to ascertain that his or her height must have been enormous. Instead of drinking, the creature would spray the water out of his or her mouth and into the air. Then he or she would return for another gulp and spray again. Due to the light, I had a very clear view. I was amazed, but not yet frightened. After leaving the fountain, the creature took long strides and entered the first cabin. He stayed inside for less than 1 second. It seemed that as soon as the cabin door shut behind him, it instantly opened and he left the cabin. I noted that the creature had to duck in order to enter the cabin. Vision was not that great at the first cabin. The doors were rudimentary cabin doors with a spring and no latch. After leaving the first cabin, the creature continued to the second, third, fourth, etc. All the cabins, spending 1 second inside each. I began to think that this behavior was consistent with a counselor doing a bed check, but I was really curious about the huge size and hairiness. My cabin was about the 12th cabin. As the creature went cabin to cabin, my vision was getting better and better, and I slowly began to feel frightened. Keep in mind that vision was excellent at the fountain, but when the creature entered the first cabin, I could not see very clearly. By the time the creature was preparing to enter the cabin next to mine, the student inside the cabin let out a huge shout, "Help!" Truthfully, I was getting ready to scream also. Upon hearing the scream, the creature immediately sprinted with long strides to the rear of the cabins and disappeared into the forest. The creature ran through bramble and briar that would be difficult for a human to negotiate. As the creature approached the cabin next to mine, I did get a very good look. It was Bigfoot. The boy who screamed was traumatized. A couple of days after the incident, his father came to Delafield to take him home. Story number 2. Years ago, I can remember a family living close to the entrance to the hollow. The teenage boy swore he saw Bigfoot in the hollow, but no one believed him. When the incident started, he told one person who said that there were guys from Riseville that ride their four-wheelers in the hollow a lot, and one of them said he saw Bigfoot once. Yet again, no one believed him, just as no one believes my family. For several years now, the only ones that go back into that area are ones who have horses and four-wheelers or dirt bikes. The roads are so bad that I don't think you would be able to get anything back there other than something made for off-road. My older brother and his son decided to try and get a picture of this creature. They took their four-wheeler back to the second field that is just behind the one it had been seen in. They waited for it to walk in. After some time of sitting, they started to smell a horrible stench. My brother stood up to look in the woods behind them, and he saw the creature squatting down behind a tree. My brother then moved to get a better look at it, but it stood up and left. He then went to look for it and saw its foot imprint on some leaves on the ground. He said they weren't very good, but he could see that its footprints were about 5 feet apart. My older brother,
his wife, a 6-year-old son were riding on their 4-wheeler back in the old 93 Hollow. It was between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. when they saw what they thought to be a black bear walking on its hind legs. They stopped the 4-wheeler and turned off the engine to watch it. When they did this, the creature also stopped and was watching them. My brother and his wife said the creature stared over a distance of around 100 yards for about 2 minutes. My sister-in-law described it to me this way. When it turned to face us, I could see through its legs. Its legs were not touching together. Its arms hung down its side, just above its knees, and its shoulders and midriff were real broad. It had fur from head to toe. 2 minutes later, the creature took off into a stride across the field with its arms swinging at its side and a slight bend to its form. At the end of the field, it turned and went into the woods. At that distance, they could see it as it walked through the woods. They figured it to be about 8 or 9 feet tall. They said it could not have been a bear walking on its hind legs, covering the distance it covered in the short time it covered it. They watched it enter into the woods and then went home. When they got home, their son, scared from what he had just seen, started crying. He swore to his mom he was never going to ride his bike or motorbike in that hollow ever again. The next day, my brother took my younger brother and my uncle back in the hollow with him to see if they could find any tracks this creature had made. They searched but did not find anything discernible. It was mostly overgrown grass, and it rained most of the night, so my older brother gave up and went home, leaving my younger brother and my uncle in the hollow. Shortly after my younger brother and uncle saw the creature, they were in the same location as my older brother was the night before. They watched it come out of the wooded area below them and cross the road. It went down the hill into a valley where they couldn't see it. Then suddenly, it came up on the other side of the hill and walked alongside the edge of the field and entered the wooded area where it did the night before. My brother got to see it through his binoculars and said it looked like a pro basketball player, but much more muscular, with fur from head to toe. He said all he could see was its backside, and it wasn't anything he had ever seen before. My brother also said he yelled at it, but it didn't faze the creature at all. 2 days later, in the morning, my older brother and his wife went to the same area to go mushroom hunting. They heard a loud knocking on one side in the woods, like someone hitting something on a tree across on the other side where there was once an old dilapidated house. They heard something screaming. My brother described it as a high-pitched hunting dog scream. They said this went on continuously. My brother started to walk down toward the house to see what it was. The closer he got, the more it spooked him. So he went back, got on his 4-wheeler, leaving his wife. His wife said when he started up his 4-wheeler and headed down the road toward the house, the knocking got louder and the screaming got louder and more intense. She said the one that was in the woods knocking started crashing around in the woods in the direction that she was in, and then stopped when it heard the 4-wheeler turning back. My brother, who turned around because the screaming was so loud, he heard it over his loud 4-wheeler, got his wife, and left the area shaken up a little. They didn't think the creature would be there in the morning. They thought they slept during the day or something. They and other people have gone back to the same area. In the 2 days since the last encounter, nothing was found or heard. The area was heavily wooded with dense underbrush and an old strip mine. There is a river and railroad tracks about a half mile from there, abandoned dilapidated brick house. There are also some remains of an old barge loading facility that acted as a tie down for the barges at the river. This is an area near Rivesville and Jordan Marion County, West Virginia. Story number 3. It's been many years since it happened, but I can still recall an encounter while bow hunting near Burnsville, West Virginia. It was around 1978 on Oil Creek in Braxton County. My in-laws had a small farm they recently purchased for hunting and raising a few beef on. I was on the top of the ridge, which had been cleared for field for hay, and I was walking along the dirt road on top to return back to camp, which was at the bottom of the ridge in the head of the hollow. I could never forget what I was about to see. Looking out way ahead, about 250 yards, on a point toward the small bushes, there was something very large and black, laying in around the bushes, with knees up and head down, just off about 40 yards from the edge of the woodline. Not sure of what I was seeing, I watched just a short spell, and it got up just like humans do, as they get up from the ground. Now that it was up, I could see it was quite large, and then it started toward my direction, around to a small bowl near an apple tree and small woodshed. And during deer season, this just does not happen, as I thought it to be some kind of a prank, like people play, so I shouted at this creature, saying, "Hey, it's not good to be out here dressed up like that during hunting season," and I waved my bow. Now, around the apple tree and shed, I determined this thing was at least 9 feet tall, walking in a stride of at least 5 feet a step at a time. I yelled and waved, and it kept coming closer, as if I was not even there. And then I saw its face, an awful sight to see, as I can still remember to this day the length and the deep, black, leathery look of its face. I'll never forget it. Then I turned downhill and ran, not looking back, until reaching the camp at the base of the ridge, and I about collapsed. Not like some people, I will not joke about this, for what I saw was real, and from the look of that face, I could not imagine it friendly by no means. But I was not going to take the time to find out either, and I have never been back to that area to hunt. I have no idea how it goes undetected for the size it is, but it is real, and it looks very mean. I did not smell it, as the wind may have been going away from me. I have spent time taking pictures out in the hills around home and enjoying hunting, but now I always carry at least a handgun whenever I walk around, because I can't run like I used to. And if you'd seen what I encountered, you would take precautions on safety while you enjoy your time in the woods. Yes, it's been a long time since that day, but it will not leave my memory, even though it has been several years since I saw this creature. I believe after someone has seen something in real life like this, it becomes unforgettable. The creature was laying down in a similar way, such as a human would do with its knees up and its body flat to the ground. And for its body, I saw clearly the way it made its way towards me. I had nothing between myself and the creature except field grass. I saw a long face, like dark leather with deep, pulled cracks, with hair surrounding it. The hair was black, about 4 inches long, covering the body. But there was something I noticed around the top of the shoulder area. Its hair stuck out further than the rest. I have seen sketches and clips of what other people have seen, but the face of this creature was long and brutal looking. A very mean look in its face. I was never more afraid as I was then in my whole life. I knew instinctively to run. You just can't forget something like this. And I'm sure others feel the same way if they had an encounter with this creature. I'm sure some will never speak of it. Next story. This happened over 20 years ago. I was visiting a friend of mine who lived in Stratford, Washington State, about 100 miles east of Seattle. The second night I was there visiting, we drove into Seattle to check out the local nightlife. At about 2 a.m. we left and started driving home. As we neared his home, the area around Blue Lake, we stopped on Route 17, somewhere south of Sun Lake State Park, to relieve ourselves. The time was around 4:30 a.m. We pulled over to the side of the road and walked off into the bushes. Within moments, I heard off to my left a very loud noise as if something was coming towards us through the forest. I was rather nervous, so I hurried back to the car. As I reached it, my friend came running towards me. We sensed something following us at a distance, got in the car, shut and locked the doors, and waited quietly. Out of the forest came the strangest thing I've ever seen. It must have been a Bigfoot. I have spent some time living in Maine and the Northeast, so I have exposure to bears. I am most certain this was not a bear. The creature seemed agitated. Perhaps when we walked off into the woods to relieve ourselves, we startled it. It approached the car and walked around it, looking at it and us. When it moved to the front of the car, we could see it was about 6.5 to 7 feet tall and covered in red-brown hair from head to toe. It stood upright, although with a hunch, and appeared to be bipedal. It approached the car and came around the front. We quickly flicked on the car headlights, and this is when we saw it best. We were so scared that we sounded the horn, hoping that this would scare it off. At this point, the creature made a kind of chortling sound, similar to that African dog, the Bazenji. Just then, he reared back and pounded the hood of my friend's car. Perhaps it was agitated by the sound of the horn. It took off into the woods, and we hit the road as fast as possible. We returned 3 times over the next few nights, but never saw anything else. There were no tracks around the spot where we parked, only some crushed grass and underbrush where the creature had walked and where we had entered the woods. Again, I have never seen anything like this again in my life. This happened about 10 years ago. I flew up to Spokane in April to visit with my brother and do some turkey hunting. After we set up camp, everyone wanted to do some scouting. Season opened on Sunday, so off we went. I'm not new to hunting or hiking, but I am new to doing it in the mountains. Did I mention I'm from Dallas, and it's flat and not that far above sea level? This was tough on me. We hiked what seemed like miles to me. It was actually maybe half of a mile to a small opening in the forest. As everyone was looking for signs, and I was looking for a breath, someone spotted a portable hunting blind, the kind that pops up. Anyway, we checked it out. We found deer bait. The blind was falling in, but inside there was a day pack, skinning knife, and a pair of Oakley sunglasses. The young man with us pointed that out. These aren't cheap. None of us could figure out why anyone would leave such items behind, unless they left in a hurry. Maybe 2 or 3 days later, my brother borrowed his friend's quad, and I followed on his to an area a few miles away where they had some luck in the past. I parked the quad and walked up to a small field. These fields, as it turns out, are old homesteads long gone. Anyway, I set up and started calling. After 1.5 hours or so, and not hearing or seeing anything, I decided to head back. It was getting late, but I still thought I'd ride up the Forest Service Road to the top. As I got closer to the top, I noticed it looked somewhat open, and the rocks looked like a fortress. When I reached the top, the Forest Service Road had installed these Kelly humps to keep ATVs out. As I turned around, I noticed the climb would not be too bad, maybe 10 or 15 yards, not really steep. I parked at the top of the switchback, set the brake, and turned the quad off. As I swung my leg over, that's when I heard the very clear and very close knocks, or should I say hits. I still had my helmet on, and it was loud. I scanned the top, which is where the knocks came from. I still have trouble telling about the feeling I felt. I knew I should leave. As I drove down the many small switchbacks, I was looking everywhere. I knew I was being watched. I was hoping I was not being chased. It took a while to tell the guys what had happened. I'm sure there are lots of folks who camp and hike and never hear or see anything strange. I've been going up with my brother for the past 4 or 5 years, and this was the first for me. The story started flowing after I mentioned it. It rained the next day, so my brother and I doubled up on his quad and went back up to the same spot. Only this time, there was no sounds whatsoever. We parked and walked across the Kelly Humps and down the other side. He's looking for turkey signs, and I'm looking everywhere else. We came to the opening with a blind in it. We traveled maybe half a mile. I hunted the next opening, and my brother went back to the quad. I made my way back to camp and never realized how close an area this all was. One of the other guys went to the latrine after dark. When he came back to our tent, he wanted to know if we were trying to scare him with the growls and the huffing sounds. Not us. That's off limits. He blew it off as a bear. I'm not so sure. Next story. Back in 1989, I'd intended to meet my parents near the town of Darrington, Washington, for Simple Day Hike and some later blueberry picking. We were to meet at the Corner Monument, which lies on the roadway to Squire Creek Trailhead, a remote location that isn't the normal haunt of the weekend backpacker. I was there because of my necessity for completion of mining assessment work to two claims, which I held there for several years. On this particular day, I arrived about 10 a.m., with my son Roger and his friend Don. It was a typical early summer day in the mountain, light fog in the canyons, and heavy shadows in the tree line. Warm and enjoyable, perfect weather for a brisk hike. This would occur later when my father, mother, and niece arrived about 11:30. We took a light lunch break, and three of us continued up the hill while the two boys and my mother remained at the cars. In about 10 minutes, we had made the first hillside above the road. It brought us about 80 feet up to a large plateau that was somewhat open but not heavily traveled, as I had only found this location a short time before, long enough to have ridden the trail and investigated the tunnels for dangers. I had also explored the remains of an old mining cabin, collected samples, and posted the site in error. My job was to remove the inaccuracies and bring the claim into compliance. This required me to park company at this plateau and venture off the trail about 200 feet. I told my father and niece to wait at the site and I would return shortly. 10 minutes later, I returned and they were gone. I called out and received no reply to my hails. Angered that they had gone ahead, I returned to the bush and took a few samples. About 15 minutes later, I returned to the trail in question where they had gone. Both were emphatic that they had not ventured from the spot, but my father seemed preoccupied by voices that he claimed he had heard. A garbled mumbling speech that resembled the sound of dwarfs arguing over a card hand. I passed it off to the carry of the boys' voices from below the bank, but he insisted otherwise. With that, we continued on our way and investigated the tunnels without incident. After about an hour hike to the upper tunnels, my father and niece decided to return to the vehicles. Dad would have liked to continue the hike, but was worried about the safety of my niece, Tina, so he accompanied her back to the car. I said my goodbyes and continued on my way, onto a trail that I had been on only the week before. As I looked around, it was difficult to determine exactly what I was seeing. The trail looked like it had been obliterated in some cataclysmic fashion. Huge rocks were out of place, trees broken over and hillside ripped loose. I couldn't even discern the ribbons I'd placed to mark my previous trip. It was as though the hand of God had slapped the hillside and jarred it beyond recognition. I couldn't even tell if I would be able to regain the trail without rope and pittance to secure my travel. It was devastation, so much so that I abandoned the monument I was carrying so I could use both hands to pull myself up to the trail. I was standing in an area more familiar but equally as unusual. Here I could see the ribbons I had placed, but they were laying on trees that were now on the ground. Large conifers were snapped off 3 and 4 feet above the ground like a child breaks stalks of grass, the broken ends and ground covered with an unusual green slime. It was like nothing I had seen before in all my many travels into the wild. It looked like it had been ejected from a toothpaste tube, but the interior of the jelly contained strands of very minute vegetable matter. This was the impression in the interior like it came out of five separate orifices and held its position in the mass of gelatin. Overall consistency was like thick tapioca pudding, and it gave the simulation of phosphorescence in the dim light of the trail. As you might imagine from my discussion, I spent some time trying to decipher the meaning of all of what I was seeing, as the sight reminded me of the Tunguska blast in Russia or the aftermath of St. Helens. Many of the trees were laying up the hill. A short while later, I arrived at the site where I had intended to place the monument. I returned for this and made placement fast, as I still had to take samples and return to the vehicles before it got too dark to pick berries. When I completed this task, I turned to take a few samples and heard an unusual echo from the surrounding hill, an extended echo that wasn't mine, coming from the hill above me. Now, let me tell you, in the time I have been mining, I've had several guns pointed in my face. I had no desire to be shot by some wayward hayseed in the hills, so I dropped my supplies and traveled out into a rock slide that went all the way up the hill, a vantage point from which I would surely see the maker of the sound. Well, such was not the case, so I cut my hands to my face and called to the maker of the sound. Moments later, the hillside exploded in a blaze of fury. Falling through the trees, I could make out a large black shape, and my first impression was that my call had dislodged a large nest or tree limb from above. But as it continued to crash in a Rambo fashion, I knew I was seeing a living creature, big and black. It had to be a bear, a cub perhaps, and I began to look for the mother. As it rolled through, I could see arms gripping for a handhold and a creature far bigger than a cub. This had to be a grizzly, judging from its size, and it was rolling right toward me. Not a good place to be with an injured bear. I saw every form of mauling death in those first few moments and prepared for quick and painful death at the claws of this thing. And then it was over. The behemoth laid on the trail dead or unconscious. I couldn't tell. Better yet, I couldn't make out head or tail of what I was seeing. It just looked like a mass of hair. I surveyed my situation in a few moments and decided to walk towards the thing and see if I could get around it and escape. Just then it began to stir, and I prepared to die. I saw first one hand and then another extending from the sides of this thing, expecting a four-footed stance. You can imagine my surprise when it stood straight up like a man and its buttocks was about eye level. I pulled my .22 caliber pistol and tried to fire a round up into the air, but I was so rattled that I had forgotten the safety and it wouldn't fire. By now, I was so engrossed in the magnificent size of the beast, I just stood there and looked and looked, determined that if I survived, I had to remember all I was seeing. Its back was absolutely enormous. I marveled at its muscle bundles and definition. The hair was jet black and about 3 inches long over most of its body. The hair on its head grew in a large cape about 24 inches long and in long tassels from the edges of its arms and legs, swishing like a spaniel dog as it walked. Its face was a ruddy brown with deep-set wrinkles under the eye sockets and eyes as dark as coal. Its nose was short and black, with a beard or mustache that grew from the bridge of its nose. Lower, the beard resembled some aspects of the buffalo. I thought it quite odd because I could see various forms of mythological beast in my own visual description to myself. Later, I fired a shot over its right shoulder. It turned and looked at me and then just walked away down the trail like I didn't matter, a living Goliath. As I stood there, I wasn't sure what to do. The gun was obviously little protection, but I did have explosives down the trail in my rock bag. My thought was to get them and I could easily scare this thing away and make my break for it. As I walked down the trail, though, I spotted something crouched near my supplies. It was the creature, and it was doing something. Digging? Well, thinking that this was possibly a method of hiding killed prey, I decided to get a closer look and make sure it wasn't one of my party. But as I got closer, it picked up a rock the size of a basketball and beat it on the ground 3 times. I decided this was bad and began to back up. Now, it seemed like I became the hunted, and it turned and ran in my direction. I turned and ran for all I was worth toward the rock slide and down the hill. The creature crested the hill above me and began a longitudinal traverse of the hillside, ripping out everything that stood in its way. It looked like a scene of a Tasmanian devil cartoon. This thing destroyed whole trees as it mowed through them, pushing them aside like I would small twigs. Rocks, branches, and all forms of debris came in my direction as if they were being hit with some beam of anti-gravitational force. It was so surreal that it was shocking, and I stopped several times when I could run no further. Surprisingly, when I stopped, it stopped, and when I ran, it ran. During the pauses, it would make that banging sound again, just long enough to enlist a response. I ran to within 300 feet of the road before I decided to give up, and then it turned and went back into the forest. As I broke out to the road, they tell me I emptied the clip of my gun. Of that, I have no memory. When I returned home, I was too distraught to talk to my wife or acknowledge my friend who was visiting. I just went into the shower and scrubbed until I began to bleed. I then collapsed in the tub and began to sob, shaking with the adrenaline still coursing through my veins. That night, I recounted the story of what I had seen, a curse that led to repeated bizarre nightmares and sleep deprivation. Unusual, terrifying aspects for which I have no explanation. On that note, I will leave you to digest my story.